I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Warning. You're about to enter the arena and join the battle to save America with your host, John Parnell.
What is up, battle crew? What is up, America? It is a great day to be an American, and from sea to shining sea and everyone in between. Welcome, Patriots. Let's jump right into the arena. We got so much to talk about. I'm going to get into the show rundown here in a second, but I want to do a very, very quick family update. Many of you all have written to me and asked about my youngest son, Evan's Ben Carson project. Now, remember, he received a list from the school, which is a public school of nothing but liberal figures. And so Commander Melly and I said, you know what? We got to take things up a notch around here in Fort Parnell. We're not going to have our son write some glowing report on the great divider that is Barack Obama or something like that. We're going to take things to the next level, and we're going to have him write a report and do a presentation on a conservative. And we settled on a great American patriot, and his name is Ben Carson. Now, remember, Commander Melanie and I took him to Barnes & Noble, which that's the closest bookstore to us. And we go in there, and in the kids nonfiction section, there were two types of books, all this LGBTQ LMNOP insanity, and all books that basically say that all white people are racist. And the only bio in the middle of those two things, was a book, a kid's bio about Barack Obama, which was appropriate. And I'll just leave it at that. Wink. So I also got into it last night, with a CNN journalist. And I just got to say before I get into the show rundown, because yes, I know we've got a lot to talk about. But Chris Saliza, he's CNN's pollster. He put something out yesterday that just blew my mind. And sometimes I just can't resist. The mouth breathing is just too much. And so let me read to you what he said. He said, a number that stunned me in the New York Times Siena poll, 42% of people said that the years Donald Trump was president were mostly good for America. Just 33% said they were mostly bad. It speaks to the power of nostalgia and how we as humans tend to remember the good stuff and block out the bad. And then he says, objectively, the Trump years were very, very tough on Americans. 350,000 Americans died of COVID-19 in 2020. Donald Trump tried to use the power of the presidency to overturn an election. The economy tanked, and yet people feel nostalgic. I mean, and I just weighed in. I'm like, oh my God. Or maybe, just maybe, people realize that Trump was an extraordinary president. That Joe Biden, by contrast, is the worst president in American history. Maybe that's what people remember. Never mind the fact that his points are absurd. More people died of COVID, Chris, under Biden than did Trump. And Trump uses powers as president to overturn an election. Well, some would say he's constitutionally obligated to ensure that elections are free and fair. One would also say, if you're looking at the situation honestly, that all President Trump was trying to do was send the electors back to the states so that the states in question could conduct an investigation, because the states are best suited to investigate elections that they themselves conducted. Nobody tried to overturn an election. And oh, by the way, this is just exactly what the Democrats did in 2016. And so back to Evan, there is in no way, shape or form am I going to have my son do a report on all of these whack job liberals and Democrats who are destroying our country. So he did one on Ben Carson, and I've got the sheet right here in front of me. And his teacher said he did amazing. His speaking volume is great. He's very comfortable up front and speaking to the class. And he did phenomenal on his report on Ben Carson. And to my young son, Evan, our youngest kid, we love you, man. Great job. Keep working hard at school. Okay. Let's transition to the show, shall we? Sorry, I had a lot there off the top. But tonight, we've got a very, very good friend of mine named Steve Hartob in the arena. Steve is an IDF combat veteran, Israeli Defense Force combat veteran. He's a combat veteran in the United States military as well. I'll do another introduction to him when we get him on deck. We're probably going to get him in the arena maybe 25 minutes past the hour. Maybe 30 minutes into the show, but we are also going to talk right off the top about the Supreme Court of the United States taking up the 1512C obstruction of an official proceeding. This case has it's unbelievably important with regards to President Trump. It's the core of what Jack Smith is charging him with, obstruction of an official proceeding. It has implications for January Sixers. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about Trump back in court today in New York City with Pudge Alvin Bragg. FISA was reauthorized, much to the chagrin of me, Commander Melanie, and every conservative voter in this country concerned about freedom and liberty. And of course, Congress managed today under Speaker Mike Johnson to fund a bunch of foreign wars, or put forth a spending bill, or put forth a funding bill that would fund foreign wars but not secure our southern border. It's all a huge disaster. So let's just get right into it, folks. Let's waste no more time and let's talk about this 1512C obstruction of an official proceeding is at the Supreme Court of the United States. This is another phase of the Democrat lawfare against Trump. It's a case that's just critically, critically important. The Supreme Court absolutely has to get this right. The Department of Justice used 1512C, again, obstruction of an official proceeding, to enhance January 6th, mostly peaceful protesters, use it to enhance their sentences. Take what would normally be misdemeanors. So January 6th, grandma goes into the Capitol, takes out a phone, snaps a selfie in front of a monument or something like that on January 6th. The Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, the Biden administration is using 1512C to turn what would be a misdemeanor, unlawful parading or something, and turn it into a felony. And that's how the Department of Justice is able to get all of these, you know, federal offense 20 plus year sentences for people who did next to nothing wrong and just took part in a mostly peaceful protest. This case highlights just the utter corruption and rot at the Department of Justice. Keep in mind, they put over 350 American citizens in jail, some of which they had in pretrial confinement. They unnecessarily delayed their trial to make sure that they stayed in jail as long as humanly possible by simply defining words in the most ridiculous ways possible. In other words, a protest outside the Capitol is being defined as obstruction of an official proceeding. And never mind the fact that this was intended, 1512C was intended for a criminal case against Enron where executives were like burning documents. It had nothing to do with protesting. And so if the Supreme Court finds that the Department of Justice and the DC trial court and the appeals court, the circuit court in DC misapplied or wrongly applied 1512C, Well, it could reverse the sentences of up to 300 plus January Sixers who I believe were wrongfully imprisoned. This, to me, folks, is one of the most important issues of our time. In January Sixers, many of these people who were rightfully protesting what was a rigged and stolen election, because it was, I don't care what you say, it's a fact. They were down there. They were making their voices heard. It was their right to protest. Our tax dollars pay for the U.S. Capitol. They had every right in the world to be there. Is rioting and violence ever okay? Absolutely not. But the vast majority of people that were there that day and the vast majority of people who are being thrown in prison, they're being thrown in prison on completely bogus enhanced felony charges made possible by the Biden Justice Department and the Department of Justice. Well, I'll tell you this, having paid attention to this trial today, it looked like things went pretty bad for the government. They didn't go well. It looked like many of the Supreme Court, the conservative Supreme Court justices, did not get down at all with the government's arguments. And Gorsuch specifically, I pulled a piece of sound for you to listen to this, because he gets right to the heart of the issue. So if a 1512C felony conviction can be used to enhance a protest, would it apply to perhaps Black Lives Matter or Antifa when they rampaged across the country? How about Antifa in Seattle when they closed down police departments or locked down a federal courthouse for months? What about when Antifa created Chaz in the middle of Seattle and no charges were brought on anybody? Or how about the pro-Hamas sympathizers who were blocking traffic yesterday? If a lawyer was in that traffic and didn't get to a trial on time, is that obstruction of an official proceeding? Or what about people that pro-Hamas sympathizers who stormed into the Senate just a couple of weeks ago? Or what about hecklers in the crowd at a United States Supreme Court hearing? Are all of those people subject to obstruction of an official proceeding? And what was interesting is that the Supreme Court justices, even, you know, it was mostly the conservative ones. Of course, the liberals on the court were sympathetic with the government's arguments. But most of the conservatives on the court got the government to admit that this statute had only ever been applied to January Sixers. And that's compelling for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was what I just told you. Are we going to now apply obstruction of an official proceeding to anybody who wants to protest anything at any time? I sure as hell hope not. But listen to Gorsuch getting right to the heart of the issue. This is real interesting soundbite. Check this out. Listen.
If I might. So what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute. The kind of built-in limitations are the things that I think would potentially suggest that many of those things wouldn't be something the government could charge or prove as 1512C2 beyond a reasonable doubt, would include the fact that the actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference. So that means that if you have some minor disruption or delay or some minimal outburst,
okay,
we don't think it falls within the actus reus.
My outbursts require the court to reconvene after the proceeding has been brought back into line, or the pulling of the fire alarm, the vote has to be rescheduled, or the protest outside of a courthouse makes it inaccessible for a period of time. Are those all federal felonies subject to 20 years in prison?
So with some of them, it would be necessary to show nexus. So with respect to the protest outside
assume,
the courthouse, we'd have to show
think,
that, yes, they were
aiming
I've at
shown,
the proceeding.
Yeah, they were trying to stop the proceeding.
Yes, and then we'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly. And this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also. But we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
We went around that tree yesterday.
I know. I heard the argument yesterday. But I guess what I would say is that to the extent that your hypotheticals are pressing on the idea of a peaceful protest, even one that's quite disruptive, it's not clear to me that the government would be able to show that each of
so
those protesters had corrupt intent.
So mostly peaceful protest that actually obstructs and impedes an official proceeding for an indefinite period would not be covered?
Not necessarily. We would just have to have the...
Do you see what's happening here? I mean, look. You can hear the skepticism in Gorsuch's voice. If you have any level of emotional intelligence, you can hear it. Thankfully, many of the conservative justices were on board with this. And I'm talking about, you know, again, I said the three liberal justices, they're kind of on board with the government. I don't think there's going to be any question as to how they rule on this. Although we'll see, we'll hold out hope. You had Chief Justice Roberts, you had Alito, you had Thomas, you had Gorsuch, you had Kavanaugh, all vehemently, it sounded like vehemently opposed and asking scathing questions of the government. You even had Roberts doing that as well, which is interesting. So this is going to come down, or it might come down to Amy Coney Barrett, which again is a Trump appointee. Well, she seemed on the fence, but we will see how this goes. Okay, so let's put a pin in that. We'll keep our ear to the ground on this, and let's shift gears to Pudge Alvin Bragg in New York City. This trial is a sham. It's always been a sham. The title of the episode is The Sham of the Century, because it is. Even the liberal media, the legacy media, when Pudge Alvin brought this case in the first place, they made fun of it. They thought it was a joke. They thought it was weak. They thought it was about as strong as a wet paper bag. And Trump, outside the courtroom, wasted no time lambasting what a sham this trial really is. Listen.
Thank you very much. This is a trial that should have never been brought. It's a trial that is being looked upon, looked at all over the world, they're calling. They're looking at it and analyzing it. Every legal pundit, every legal scholar said this trial is a disgrace. We have a Trump-hating judge. We have a judge who shouldn't be on this case. He's totally conflicted. But this is a trial that should never happen. It should have been thrown out a long time ago. If you look,
I say this, I feel like I say this often, but Trump is 100% right. Now, Pudge wanted Trump detained, actually thrown in a jail cell for violating the gag order. By the way, the unconstitutional gag order. Because what's happening now is that the media and all of these left-wing lawyers are going out on a 24-hour-a-day media news cycle trying to shape public sentiment. They're going all in on attacking Trump, leading up to the trial, so that when the jury pool is being selected from an already heavily Democrat area, but the media is just carpet bombing them with propaganda, and they're not allowing Trump or his lawyers to even respond to any of this. Of course, it's unconstitutional, but Pudge Alvin Bragg upgraded what should be a misdemeanor and a joke of a misdemeanor at that. By the way, I don't even think it is a misdemeanor, so I don't even want to overstate it there. But this guy is a guy that brought felonies down to misdemeanors about 62% of the time. And when Pudge Alvin Bragg was elected, he said he was no enforcement for resisting arrest, sex work, or trespassing. No one is placed in jail whatsoever unless it's murder or a felony associated with somebody else's death. Diminished sentences for things like armed robbery, stealing from houses, dealing with drugs. And he also wants the race to be considered, the race of the perpetrator to be considered. This prosecutor, Pudge Alvin, ran on taking down Trump. I mean, this is absolutely insane. Let me just run down how absurd this is. Pudge Alvin ran, made a campaign just like Fat Tish James on going after Trump. Listen to this. Listen for yourself.
Whoever has this job, are they going to convict Donald Trump?
I'm the candidate in the race who has the experience with Donald Trump. I was the chief deputy in the attorney general's office. We sued the Trump administration over 100 times. for the Muslim travel ban, for family separation at the border, for shenanigans with the census. So I know how to litigate with him. I also led the team that did the Trump Foundation case. So I'm ready to go wherever the facts take me and to inherit that case. And I think, you know, it'd be hard to argue with the fact that that'd be the most important, most high profile case. And I've seen him up front and seen the lawlessness that he can do.
And you believe it should happen?
I believe we have to hold him accountable. So, you are right. We got two standards of justice. Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, being a rich old white man has allowed you to fade accountability in Manhattan. That includes Trump and his children. So I've seen a pattern of lawlessness over 20 years. And so I'm inclined to believe all I see in the public domain and know that there's and believe that there's a path forward there to make a case.
So this is completely ridiculous. The previous Manhattan DA, who, by the way, is a state prosecutor, this is a federal case. So how Pudge Alvin, as a state prosecutor, is actually able to prosecute a federal case, I don't know. It's beyond me. I'm not a lawyer, but that raises a lot of questions to me.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
But even Pudge Alvin said he wasn't going to charge this case. The previous Manhattan district attorney said he wasn't going to charge the case. They said that the core of the case is that this is an election, a federal election commission campaign finance violation. Well, the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, investigated it and said, nah. The Biden Justice Department investigated it and said, nah. Again, Pudge Alvin looked at it and said, no, I'm not going to prosecute it. It wasn't until the Biden administration sent a Biden administration lawyer from the White House, who officially resigned his position from the White House, to New York City to be a partner with Bragg in this case before Bragg would agree to take it up in the first place. You see what a sham this really is, right? And of course, the judge, get to Merchan, Judge Merchan and his daughter. This guy has said anti-Trump things in the past. This guy has given money, donated money to Joe Biden. That's a conflict of interest right there, and he should recuse. His daughter has raised over $90 million for left-wing causes that support putting Trump in prison. His daughter personally has made over $2 million, which therefore enriches the Merchan family. How did she raise this money? By helping radical Democrats like Adam Schiff, who pushed the Russia collusion hoax for years, and putting Trump in jail and his sons in jail and raising all sorts of money off of that. She enriched herself off of putting Trump in jail. And now the man that has the power to put Trump in jail is overseeing the trial itself. And the entire trial, the whole thing, is built around Michael Cohen and a porn star. I mean, like, take a second, pinch yourself here for just a second, okay? The trial that could send a former president of the United States to prison revolves around a porn star and Michael Cohen, who is a serial perjurer that was written by a judge in New York, the guy that was a convicted liar, lied on the record more than anybody else. The whole trial hinges on his testimony. Yet that's where we are. Former president of the United States could go to jail. Literally, they could put him in jail over this because of a guy named Michael Cohen, a convicted liar, and Stormy Daniels, a porn star. And oh, by the way, here's the thing. Stormy Daniels signed a letter saying that it was all made up and it never, ever happened. So that brings me to jury selection in D.C. I've already told you the reason why the gag order exists, unconstitutional gag order, is so that the media can do a 24 hours a day, 7 day news cycle and lead up to the jury selection, saturate it with an already Democrat jury pool, saturate it with propaganda and talking points, prevent Donald Trump from even responding. And isn't it interesting that if you look at Judge Merchan's criteria for jurors, if you're a Trump supporter, if you worked for President Trump, you campaigned for President Trump, you even went to a Trump rally, if you have a family member that voted for President Trump, you could be kicked off of the jury pool. But Judge Merchan and his daughter and Alvin Bragg campaigned, they said negative things about Trump. Alvin Bragg campaigned on getting Trump. The prosecutor can stay on the case with a Trump bias. The judge can stay on the case with a Trump bias. But if you're a juror that believed that even just has some ancillary connection to Trump, you can't be on the case. I mean, this is the world that we live in. So that brings me to this point. Why are we living in a world? Why is anyone treating this case as anything else but a complete sham? Bragg, Merchan, the entire New York City justice system is operating outside the purview of the United States Constitution. I mean, for real, these are all sham charges. They're violating the law left and right. There is a record of people not wanting to charge this case, like, that goes back 10 people. And so you have all these legal experts on CNN and, oh man, this case is this. Oh, I don't know. I like talking and debating the case like it's an episode of Judge Judy or something. This is a complete sham. I reject the entire premise. And when Trump was asked about this, I mean, he was asked about it and his response was perfect. He said, I was paying a lawyer and marked it down as a legal expense. An accountant I didn't know marked it down as a legal expense. And that's exactly what it was. And you get indicted over that. Cohen, a convicted felon, claims that he paid Stormy Daniels and Trump paid him back. But don't forget that Stormy Daniels also signed a statement saying that none of it happened. But this is the world that we live in, folks. We also live in a world where FISA was just reauthorized today. Many of the people who voted for FISA are people on Capitol Hill that I consider my friends. I'm disappointed in them. The Republicans who voted for FISA, I'm disappointed in you. You cannot be the party of freedom. You cannot be pro-freedom and also pro-warrantless spying on American citizens. I own my part in all of this. Back when I was a young 20-something idiot after 9/11, joining the military and getting in the fight, the Democrats and Republicans roll out this bill called the Patriot Act, and I heard it. I'm like, well, Patriot Act? I'm a patriot. Of course I support this bill. I was stupid back then. I've wised up now. Freedom and liberty of Americans in this country has to be preserved at all costs, and anytime we give it up, it becomes very, very difficult to get back from a big bloated government, especially one that has abused it to go after political opponents. I mean, keep in mind, I really want you to focus on this, that almost every hoax that was foisted on the American people over the last 10 years since Trump came down the escalator, and for all we know, going back a lot further, we just don't know. But almost every hoax that was pushed on the American people, they used FISA to do it. The Russia collusion hoax, all of that. So the FBI has lost the trust of the American people. They've got to earn the trust back before they can go spying on people without a warrant. And oh, by the way, the FISA courts are completely broken. They're basically a rubber stamp. So you mean to tell me that the FBI doesn't even want the procedural hurdle that is a rubber stamp? Why is that so difficult? This should concern the hell out of all of us. And of course, border funding was removed. So again, this all falls at the feet of Speaker Johnson. I'm kind of ticking off things pretty fast here because there's a lot to talk about on the show today. But all border funding was removed from negotiations as it pertains to funding Ukraine and funding Israel, which, hey, we should be helping Israel, right? I'm fine with that. Ukraine, you know where I stand on that. Our aid there will not make a meaningful difference. It will still end in a stalemate. Israel can take the fight to the enemy and win, and we should help them. The world's a better place without Hamas. And so, but my point is, every bit of leverage that we had on securing the border, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, just gave it away by saying that no, aid to Ukraine and aid to Israel is not going to be tethered to any border security funding. Not to mention that on the floor of the House of Representatives, the Repo Act is being debated. Do you know what the Repo Act is? And I've told you that lawfare is only one front in the war against Trump. The Democrats see the writing on the wall. The Democrats know that they have an historically unpopular president in Biden. Somehow cackling Kamala is less popular than him. The Democrats know that their backs are up against the wall. The Democrats know that this lawfare is failing. And the more they indict Trump, the more popular he gets. They know that Trump is surging everywhere. And so they're trying to do things, the deep state, the blob, behind the scenes to stifle an ex-Trump presidency in this debate over the Repo Act, R-E-P-O. Google it. Don't trust me. Just look it up yourself. What this legislation does that's being currently debated on the House floor is freeze the current sanctions against the regime in Russia. And it would require an act of Congress to change it. So if you're President Trump, one of your primary responsibilities, and this is just as it pertains to Russia, is diplomacy. So why would you want an act of Congress to just allow the president to negotiate diplomacy at all? It's a recipe for disaster. What if Trump wants to make the sanctions harder, tougher? What if he strikes a deal with Russia where they pull back to the border of Ukraine and he wants to lift sanctions? I mean, either way, I don't care how you feel about Russia, the war in Ukraine, the president of the United States, who we the people select and send there to do the work of the United States on behalf of we the people, should have the ability to negotiate with foreign countries to make the world a safer, more peaceful place. But again, the deep state, the blob, Democrats, and even some Republicans in the House of Representatives are doing everything they can to stifle and undermine an ex-Trump administration. So my question for Speaker Johnson is, why the hell are you allowing a debate on this bill that would crush another 4 years of Donald Trump? Why? The Democrats would never allow this to happen. Can you imagine Pelosi doing anything to deliberately weaken her position as Speaker of the House with Democrat control of the House of Representatives? No. So why the hell are you doing this? Just stop. Take a deep breath. Take a knee. Drink water, Mike Johnson. Just stop. Hit the pause button. Nobody, our base does not want you to do this stuff. So let's get my buddy Steve Hartov here on the show. Steve, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here. You're a Israeli Defense Force veteran. You're an American. You're an American combat veteran, an Israeli Defense Force combat veteran, New York Times bestselling author. What the hell haven't you done? I think you were the oldest major in United States Army history, which is saying something.
I slipped past them, Sean. I forged a waiver.
So how you doing, man? Thank you for taking.
I'm doing good, but I'm losing my mind just like you. Oh, I don't want to say that to your audience. You're not losing your mind. I'm just, the stuff is coming so hard and fast and heavy. I can't believe it.
So you're a dual citizen, right? Israeli-American citizen.
Dual veteran, dual citizen.
So your story is remarkable in so many ways, Steve. But this, talk to me about where you're at right now. Because Israel is such an integral, and being Jewish and of the Jewish faith, and Israel is such an integral part to your life and your family's life. I had to ask, after that attack on October 7th, the massacre, really, to call it attack it's just a massive understatement, because really it was not a military style attack. It was a massacre. It was horrific. What was your state of mind in the aftermath of all that, Steve?
I tell you, Sean, I've been through a lot of stuff over there in the Middle East. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff. I was there, I'm an older guy. I was there years ago when I was 19, I was there for the Yom Kippur War, and I was there, I fought in Lebanon, and, you know, we've both seen stuff in the Middle East. I've never seen anything like that. Never even heard of anything like that. I mean, maybe, you know, I wrote a book with Mike Duran about Somalia, so I heard a lot from the Delta guys and the Night Stalker guys about some horrific stuff that happened in Somalia, but I'd never seen that to the degree that we saw it on October 7th. It's just hard to comprehend because, you know, at first when the news was coming in, we thought, okay, terror attack. But then the way they executed it and the way they bragged about it and the way they posted it on Telegram and live on Facebook. And even I had trouble believing it until a German intelligence officer who's a good friend of mine and speaks multiple languages, Hebrew, he worked in Israel for a while and he's obviously fluent in German. He sent me a video of some of these Hamas guys slaughtering a pregnant Israeli girl live. And once I saw that, I realized we're in a different world now. This is not, you know, we're back in medieval times where you'd hear about these things happening with maybe the hordes of Huns or whatever, but it's still hard to wrap my brain around.
You and I talk a lot about what's going on in the world and just in general. We've been friends for a long time. Things have been driving you crazy lately. With the Biden administration and their policy towards the Middle East. Of course, Iran just attacking Israel. We'll get into that. But you were recently, not to take a more lighthearted turn after what you just said, but you were recently banned on Twitter permanently because you almost got into it with another Jew over his support of the... Please walk us through what happened and tell us what you said that got you banned.
They didn't even let me get into it with him. I mean, you know... You're an author, I'm an author. We know that we have to be careful sometimes. We're operating in media where, you know, you have to be a little cautious about what you say because you have overlords. Whether or not you chose them, you have them. And whether or not Elon Musk has taken over Twitter and allegedly liberated it, he's not, you know, sitting on top of every tweet, right? Or every act. So I had a very good following as a writer. Tried to stay out of politics. Then I saw not long ago, about a month ago, a rabbi at a demonstration against Israel wearing a Palestinian flag and calling for the destruction of the state of Israel. And I said, Rabbi, I would like to beat you black and blue with your own Torah scrolls. And within 4 hours, banned for life.
It's ridiculous. Like, because what I said to you, I'm like, well, you're a Jew. He's a Jew. What's wrong with that? And clearly, I mean, while it's obviously you were pretty angry at him, and I don't doubt for a second that you would actually do that.
No, but no, don't say that.
It was a jest, right? I mean, you were kind of joking around. It's kind of ridiculous that you get banned for that.
It was a sarcastic remark, but it's...
He's the one calling for the destruction of Israel, which essentially means genocide.
You know what it was like, Sean? It was like a Catholic going after a pedophile priest and getting banned for standing up for morality. That's what it was like. It was like he and I are in the same, you know, the same co-religionist world. And yeah, I'm gone.
So you're banned from Twitter you're starting to get frustrated. Talk to me about how you think the Biden administration has handled what's going on in Israel.
Wow. How long do you have, man?
We got as long as you need.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on here. I mean, I think we have to rotate back to the Obama administration when their major concern about the Middle East was making friends with the Iranians. And that was based on ideology. And I think it's a dual ideology in that the Obamas and all of their minions not only want to appease the Muslim Brotherhood followers and so forth in the Middle East, but they also want to depress America. because they view this country, these are people who have been in power here and still are, they view this country as privileged, colonialist, undeserving of its riches, you know, all that nonsense. So you start on that basis where you have power players in this country who are trying to appease the Iranians and allow them to do things that God forbid they should ever get their homes on, their hands on, they should never do. And now the Iranians have fomented this horrific series of events in the Middle East. It's not just Hamas and the massacre, it's Hezbollah, it's the PIJ, Islamic Jihad, the Houthis. I mean, it's obvious to everyone who can watch this that these proxies are being supported and funded by and trained by the Iranians. So the Israelis take it upon themselves to eliminate Zahedi, who was one of the architects of October 7th.
Yeah, they dropped, a cruise missile on his head in an embassy, right?
It was not an embassy, actually. And that's what everybody's saying. How could the Israelis attack a diplomatic enclave? It was not an embassy.
That's how it's being reported. That's crazy. I did not know that.
Of course it is. If you look
because at that was the whole justification, Steve, for Iran. Iran's like, well, hey, an embassy, it's Iranian soil. Now we got to strike you on your soil. And that's how the international community, that's how it was reported. And that's how it's being reported globally.
That's how it was reported. It was actually an annex next to the embassy that was used for tactical and military planning against the West.
Unbelievable.
And so if you look at the photographs of where the Israelis hit the annex and killed the two Iranian generals and about 16 other of their, you know, cohorts, not only is the embassy next to it untouched, but the Iranian ambassador and his family were asleep in the embassy at the time and were totally unharmed and untouched.
That is crazy. How is this the first I've heard of this? This is crazy to me.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I don't know. You got to read the papers in Hebrew and Arabic, and then you pick that stuff up.
Well, damn. I can barely speak English. Let alone.
Sometimes I have that problem, too.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, so the Iranians needed an excuse, and that was their excuse. And then our administration here thankfully joined in to repress the attack of the 300 projectiles and so forth. But I think that they did that more to protect the Iranians than the Israelis.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me, because you said something to me. I'll set this up, Steve. You and I were texting back and forth, and you said something to me. Like, you know, Biden sends the military, aircraft carriers and strike groups in and around the area. And by God, it just dawned on me the other day that he did not do that because he wanted to support Israel, but it was because he wanted to protect Iran. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that basically?
I do believe that. I believe what he wants to protect is the detente that emanates from the previous Obama administration. And you and I both know that Biden is not, he's president in name only. I mean, it's the same Valerie Jarrett and all these pro-Iranian people who are running the White House now, Jake Sullivan, all those people, the same players. And their dream was to have detente with the Iranians. And as you know, none of the Europeans who are working with the Iranians really want any sort of sanctions against them because they're making billions off the Iranians.
Wait, so how? They're making billions off the Iranians for oil?
Off of business, oil, technology, they are not restricted. American corporations are restricted from engaging in certain activities with the Iranians, but the Europeans are not.
Wait, so this is... Okay, so I... This is crazy to me. This is also never reported.
No, of course it's never reported. I mean, who's, you know, the Europeans are so busy with NATO and the Russians, you don't hear anything about their relationship with the Iranians, but they make a fortune off of the Iranians. So the other thing is that this administration knew that if the Iranians launched a major attack against Israel and it wasn't stopped, that the Israelis would nuke them. And so to protect the Iranians from a massive Israeli attack against Tehran, well, not necessarily Tehran, but against Isfahan, where the nuclear reactors are, they had to help the Israelis keep these missiles from impacting Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Otherwise, it was just going to go to hell.
So where does Israel go from here, Steve? What are your sources on the ground telling you? I mean, obviously, you can't disclose secret information, but I don't see a world in which Israel does not respond to Iran. Am I worried about escalation? Of course I am, but I also believe that Israel is justified to hit back. This idea, Steve, let's flip it around a little bit. You know, terrorists come across our southern border. God forbid, I hope this never happens, an attack on American soil like what happened in Israel. No country on earth would stop us from hunting those bastards down and finding them all. So why other nations and the United Nations and America can try to stop Israel from defending their own people, I don't like that. They have a right to defend themselves. And I see this Iranian attack, while it thankfully didn't hurt, at least I don't believe it didn't hurt any Israelis. It was a huge attack. I mean, it was no small attack, is my point. So what are the next steps? What's Israel going to do here?
You know, I don't know that the Israelis are going to counterattack in a conventional way.
Wow.
And I so think you're saying
that if you're a nuclear scientist, an Iranian nuclear scientist, you better have your head on a swivel. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the Israelis have killed a number of them already. And so I think a lot of the Iranian nuclear program, I know for a fact, has not been able to advance because of covert operations that the Israelis undertake. They killed a nuclear scientist outside of Tehran a couple of years ago, and they've done it many times before, and they've sabotaged nuclear facilities and intelligence facilities and so forth. I think the Israelis, because people don't understand the way the Middle East works, a lot of it, Sean, is, well, you know this because of all your time in Afghanistan. And so you're well experienced in the mentalities of the Middle East and an eye for an eye and, yeah, and tribal mentalities. So a lot of what the Iranians did with their attack and the reason they basically announced it was because it was symbolic in terms of face saving. They had to strike at Israel for killing off one of the heads of their IRGC. But they knew if they actually did a lot of damage in Israel, they were going to get creamed. So they basically announced it beforehand, and they rolled their missiles and their drones out in open areas because they know the United States has such great overhead, right? I mean, you don't think they got anything out onto a launcher without, you know, the NRO knowing about it in 2 minutes. I mean, and they knew that. They know there's coverage all over Iran. So it was sort of a face-saving measure. And they even said, we consider this issue settled now. Once they fired all their rockets, we consider this issue settled now.
Interesting. So tell us, Steve, your family has been involved in all of this. I mean, you said you had cousins that that saw action in Gaza. Your own son is mobilized, right? Like,
yeah, he served in the same battalion over there, paratroop battalion, that I did, but 40 years later. So he went within a couple of days. He got on a plane and went over there, and he was up. He was actually I can't say exactly where he was, but he was there for a while until he was rotated out and relieved, and he was probably going back again. My younger cousins have been in combat in Gaza for 4 months now, and it's pretty horrific. But one more thing I want to say about that, because I know we don't have forever, and your audience is pretty attuned to this stuff. The casualty figures that are being repeated over and over again by the mainstream media, including right up to the White House, are all false. The Gaza casualty figures are all false. They're not even close to the truth. And they will say after an announcement, 31,000 Gazan civilians have been killed in this conflict, according to the Gaza Ministry of Health. Well, that's Hamas.
Steve, what sickens me about all of this is that I've said many times in this show is that the Biden administration and his lackeys only care about staying in power. And absolutely. And they have all of these uncommitted votes in Dearborn and in Michigan. You have people in Minnesota. You even have people down in Kansas who are like, hell no, I'm not voting for Joe Biden because of this, you know, this what's happening in Gaza. I won't do it. And so Biden right now, I never thought I'd see the day. I mean, honestly, I thought Obama was bad, but I've never thought I'd see the day where Biden is actually softening U.S. policy towards a terrorist organization just so he can win an election or to help him. I mean, because right now you had something like in Wisconsin, the number of uncommitted votes, people who just checked any other block, but for Biden, more than doubled his margin in 2020. I mean, this is like the Democrat base is fractured on this. And so it sickens me. It sickens me that Biden is so brazenly political in almost all of his decisions. But two, having come from a family of Union Democrats, this is not their Democrat Party anymore.
Well, I came from a family of JFK Democrats. And it's not our party anymore and hasn't been for decades. And I mean, we can go on about the border and you know, how all everything is about votes, power, and money, and it is. What scares me about the border, and besides the fact that this administration is encouraging hundreds of thousands of new voters to cross the border because they're losing people like we used to be, the jihad is here as well. I mean, you know, man, you just have to... When you see the Brooklyn Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge and, you know, highways being shut down and Chicago O'Hare and they're all in support of Hamas, what do you think that is? It's the same thing that's been going on in Europe for years. It's here. And how are you going to turn that around?
I don't know. How you tell me. What do we do?
Well, the first thing you do is... I mean, there's First Amendment and then there's, you know, public disturbance and crime.
Those shutting down highways and protesting on airport. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like maybe we should charge them like we did January Sixers, you know, and it's the whole thing is ridiculous.
But the only way to stop a spoiled child from misbehaving sometimes is to punish the child and punish the child seriously. And these are spoiled children. A lot of these demonstrators who are out there wearing keffiyehs and screaming from the river to the sea, they have no idea why they're out there. No idea. But they are, you know, shutting down highways where people with heart attacks can't get through in their ambulances. That to me is a criminal offense. It has nothing to do with the First Amendment.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So just enforce the law on these pro-Hamas sympathizers.
Start with that.
That's a good place to start. Steve, I would love to have you back on the show if you're willing, number one. But number two, like we have an amazing an active audience. We call ourselves the Battle Crew. So tell us, one, where can people find you and how can people support you? Tell us about your books. What can we do to help you?
Well, first of all, Sean, thank you. I'd love to come on again, but I'll give you a break because it's mutual therapy, but it's also infuriating.
Right? Well, your insight is invaluable, man. And the fact that you, I mean, my prayers are with you, Steve, because your family's caught up in this and you understand the horrors of war better than most anybody. And now your children and family are wrapped up in it. So it can't be easy, my friend.
It's not easy for any of us, my friend. You're on the front lines of a battleground and, you know, you're not in Afghanistan anymore, but this is still a battle and it's for our country. So you can't find me on Twitter anymore, obviously.
Yeah, you threatened to kick the ass of a rabbi.
Yeah. It's definitely, not kosher. Not kosher.
not good. Well, I'm fine with it, actually. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, but all my friends are fine with it. But you can find me on my website.
What about books? Okay, so tell us your website. Tell us about your books.
My website is just my name, Stephen Hartov, HARTOV.com. And the books that I'm writing currently are World War II historical fiction books. This is the latest one, The Last of the Seven. Folks who like stuff like The Guns of Navarone, they'll like this book. And thank you for letting me plug.
Hey, man, we on this show, we support people who love this country. We've got to. We only have each other. You know, we're getting canceled left and right. So we make it a point to support great conservatives or, you know what, at this point, just people who want to save this country. And you're one of those people, Steve. So thank you for being so generous with your time. And until next time, brother, I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Captain.
See you, Steve. Take care, brother. That was Steve Hartov, my friend, who is an extraordinary American patriot. And again, I want to thank him for his time, and his family is wrapped up in this stuff. You know, this is a man that served America valiantly, served in Israel to protect freedom there. And now his children are serving. So we're grateful to Steve, and get out there and check out his website, get his books. He's an extraordinary writer. I mean, seriously, he's New York Times bestselling author, wrote with Mike Durant from Black Hawk Down and stuff like that. He's an amazing guy. Go check out his books, and let's support him. Okay, this is really important. Got a couple more things to talk about, and then we'll pop smoke for the day. But this is critically important. Between 7 and 10 illegal alien invaders have entered into the United States. The House of Representatives only today submitted articles of impeachment for communist mouth breather Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. This should have happened a long time ago, but the Senate is prepping for a trial. Keep your eye on Chuck Schumer. I would not be surprised if he just dismissed it out of hand and didn't let the thing go to trial at all, because that's how the Democrats are. But Speaker Johnson in the U.S. House of Representatives, by the way, so disappointed in him. I could not be more disappointed in Speaker Johnson. It's like he's more effective as a Democrat speaker than a Republican speaker. And I say that with sadness as somebody who had high hopes for Speaker Johnson. But he's very effective for the Democrat agenda. He said today, and I quote, this is Speaker Mike Johnson, "I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I didn't think this would be an easy path." Speaking of criticism of him untethering border funding from funding American taxpayer funding of foreign wars. And of course, he's not even referring to foreign. When he says he's a wartime speaker, he's of course referring to foreign wars and not the invasion at our southern border. And that should tell you everything that you need to know about Republican priorities in the House of Representatives today. And this drives me crazy, because how many more innocent Americans need to be hurt, murdered, raped by illegal alien invaders before somebody, some Republican, anyone in leadership at all, steps up and does something about it? Well, today an invader in Boston was arrested, finally detained, thankfully, for child rape. I wish like hell that he was arrested prior to that so this child wouldn't have to deal with lifelong trauma. Thank you, Mayorkas, Biden, and every communist mouth-breathing Dem who is turning this country into a hellhole. Listen to this.
A short time later, ICE took down their final target, a Brazilian gang member also charged with child rape. Just this morning today, four accused child rapists and one MS-13 gang member. Those are the kind of people you're going after.
That's every day up here in Boston. Those are the public safety threats that we really want to get off the street. It was a great day for the teams. That's five public safety threats that are in the community going to go ahead and victimize anyone else.
And I says all of those arrests you just saw happen because local authorities ignored their detainer request to keep these guys in custody due to sanctuary policies. I says all of those suspects will remain in federal custody until their local charges are resolved. Then ICE will seek to deport every single one of them. Wow. We'll send it back to you.
And making a point of doing it in a city like Boston with the sanctuary policies in place. Really intriguing stuff, Bill. We'll see what comes of it next. Thank you. Bill Malusian in Boston.
I mean, the entire thing is infuriating. That child is going to have to deal with lifelong trauma because of sanctuary city policies made possible by radical communist Democrats. And Mike Johnson today in the House of Representatives, again, a Republican speaker who I had high hopes for, he is forcing one bill down the throats of Republicans after the next. Over the last 2 weeks, not one of them has border security in it. And now in New York City, if you look at what's happening in New York City, I mean, of course, crime's out of control. Are they prosecuting any of that crime? No, they're going after President Trump. But that's not the point of this segment. The point of this segment is to say that now New York City is spending billions of dollars, you know, funding and dealing with the issue of this invasion, and they dared move the invaders out of five-star luxury hotels. And so all of the invaders took to the streets and took to City Hall to protest the fact that they're being moved to shelters instead of luxury hotels. That is the situation that we live in America right now. And add to that this, for our friends who are listening. This is from the Oversight Project, which is an extension of the Heritage Foundation. What you're looking at on the screen, and I'll read it for folks who are listening, is these are flyers distributed at an NGO in Mexico encouraging illegals to vote for President Biden. The flyer reads, "Reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open." Don't trust me. If you're listening, come over to my Rumble page, subscribe, follow. Watch the show live with us. We love the conversation. But look, you're looking at it right here on the screen. This is a fact. And if you've been listening or watching this show for the 7 months that I've been doing, and I told you months ago that their plan was to get illegal alien invaders to vote. That's their hope. They're flying illegal aliens from the southern border to heavily Democrat areas. They're going to count them in the census. They're going to make those Democrat states more populous, or they're going to plus up the population of Democrat voters, thereby giving them more electoral votes, right? And then they're also flying these illegal invaders to swing states where only a few thousand votes can sway an election. You see what's happening here. I don't know how you can justify defending democracy abroad while not defending it here. Illegals can vote in all 50 states by checking a box that says they are a citizen. That is it. That's all that's required. So Biden is in Scranton today. And of course, he draws like 100 people. And this is in his hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania. So by the way, if he can only draw 100 people in Scranton, where he's from in the linchpin state of Pennsylvania, let me just tell you, Biden is in big trouble. But I'm going to end the show with this today because the only thing that this animated corpse has, the only thing that he has, are hoaxes. Listen to this.
The one that offends me the most is when he refused his president to visit an American cemetery outside of Paris when he was president. Why? He said that those soldiers who gave their lives were, quote, Because his quote, suckers and losers. Suckers and losers, he said it. Who the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is? These were heroes. These soldiers were heroes.
Well, listen, I know people who personally were with Trump that day, and they would tell you that that did not happen. It's completely made up. But all the Democrats have, all they have are hoaxes. Again, Biden in Scranton, his hometown, even though he's been a senator from Delaware his entire career, 100 people there, barely that, pushing nothing but hoaxes. So my point to you all is keep the faith. The best is yet to come. Take action in your community in the fight to save this country. And so listen, thank you. Thank you for being with us for the full hour today. Steve Hartoff is amazing. Thank you. Make sure that you like and rumble that little green thumb beneath this video. Please go ahead and smash it. Smash it, because it helps the show immensely. It propels us towards the leaderboard. I feel like every week we're getting closer and closer to it. Tell your family and your friends to subscribe to Battleground Live. And as always, folks, thank you all for watching. Thank you so, so much. I love seeing this show grow with you. God bless you all. I'll see you tomorrow night. Have an amazing show. Working on getting Savage Rich Barris. Working on getting Savage Rich Barris on the show tomorrow. God bless you all, and God bless this amazing, amazing country that we call home. Take care, good night, and I will see you tomorrow.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.